Hello, and welcome to the Gallen Education Podcast. Based in Madison, Wisconsin, we are in the business of helping students find success. We offer college and graduate school counseling, standardized test preparation, academic tutoring, and executive function coaching. Our podcast explores issues and ideas that students and families may want to know more about surrounding the college search and application process.
I'm Liz Jackson, Gallen's Director of College Counseling.
And I'm Paula Wheeler, a college counselor with Gallen.
And today, we're excited to be joined by Jane Shepherd, one of Gallen's medical school admissions counselors. Jane has guided both domestic and international students at many stages of their education, including high school, undergrad, graduate, and pre-professional. Before joining Gallen, Jane worked in admissions for University of Wisconsin-Madison and served as director of MD admissions at UW-Madison's School of Medicine and Public Health for more than a decade. And Jane, we are just thrilled to welcome you to our podcast today.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here with two of my favorite colleagues.
Wonderful.
Well, Jane, you work with students who come to Gallen seeking help with their medical school application process, but a lot of times those of us counselors who work with high school students will get questions about what to look for in a college if they're planning on the pre-med track. So thank you for coming on to talk about that with us. So I thought we should start with a pretty broad question. Is it really more difficult than ever to get into medical school today than it was 10 or 20 years ago?
Oh, I would say yes, it's definitely more difficult to get into med school now compared to the past. It's much more competitive.
And why do you think that is?
I think there are several reasons. The number of applicants has really skyrocketed. In the 2022 to 2023 cycle, there were over 55,000 applicants and 22,000 students actually started medical school. So that's an acceptance rate of only about 40%. And lots of factors play into this. In general, GPAs and MCATs have increased even within the last 10 years or so. And I think even though GPAs and MCATs are not the only thing that admissions committee members look at, they still are important. So just to give you an example, in 2001, the average GPA was a 3.6, and now it's closer to like a 3.74. And the MCAT in 2001, and I'm going to convert this to the previous MCAT scoring system. Back in 2001, it was about a 508, and now it's about a 512. That's about the average. So that has gone up several points. But also, more recently, there's been a much stronger emphasis on soft skills and extracurricular activities. So committees go much farther beyond looking at the quantitative parts of an application. So what are they looking for? They're looking for patient exposure, and I cannot emphasize that enough. But they're also looking for evidence of service to others. They're looking for applicants who have done research. They're looking for applicants that have had leadership roles. And they also want to know that applicants can work well on teams.
That's super helpful. And, you know, one thing that we often say to students when we're advising them on the college admissions process is that, you know, you can go to medical school having attended, you know, any undergraduate university, and obviously we focus really on fit. I wonder if you could sort of talk about the most important considerations for students who are in high school applying to college and have sort of their eyes on a career in medicine. You know, one of the things that students will often ask us is, you know, should I just go to the most selective school I can get into? I guess I wonder what your thoughts are on that, and sort of what are the things that, you know, that you think do matter in selecting a college for a student who might eventually want to go to med school?
Okay, yeah, Liz, that's a really good question. And I get asked that question all the time, or I have been asked that question very often, usually by parents, but from the students too. And it really comes down to the individual applicants. I think people are expecting to get answers like, the Ivies. I think if my student gets into Yale or Princeton or Harvard or Stanford, that they're going to have a much better chance of getting into med school. And that really is not the case. Students really should choose a school that they feel comfortable in and where they can see themselves being successful. So that might mean a smaller private school or a medium-sized state university setting. Some students actually might thrive in really big universities. But if that's the case, they need to be really good at navigating a large university, a big campus, and they have to be used to being in really large classes, the kinds of classes where they're in a gigantic room with 300, 400 other people. So if some students aren't quite as good at advocating for themselves, or putting themselves out there, sometimes a smaller school is a better fit for them. And some of the benefits of a smaller school are they might get to know their professors better, or they might have easier access to advisors or some of the services that these smaller campuses can provide. They might be able to participate much more fully in the classes rather than being, one person in a sea of faces. The bottom line is that students typically do better academically and also socially in a school that is a really good fit for them. And with all of that being said, they're going to be more successful, which is going to show in the activities they are able to take part in and also their grades.
That's very good to know. I think that those considerations are so important and important to remember. So, another thing that we get asked about a lot is there a specific major that a pre-med student would benefit from in undergrad? And is it important, for example, to always major in something like biological sciences, which would be a natural fit, or can you really put forth a strong medical school application with any major?
That is another question that I get really often. And sometimes I get a lot of pushback, but what I'm going to say might surprise some of you. Granted, most med students do major in the hard sciences, things like biochem or neuroscience, but other popular majors that we see are things like psychology or Spanish or statistics. I also see many more students majoring in public health. And another way to sort of combine this is that students often double major. So they might choose a hard science plus another major in the humanities or in the social sciences. But ultimately, what I think students should really think about is choosing a major in an area that's really interesting to them, because I think we all know that we do better when we're doing things that we enjoy, when we're involved in things that are much more interesting to us or that we have a passion about. So, with any major, they can complete the pre-med requirements in addition to major requirements. So, over the years, just to give you an example, I've seen really successful students who have majored in theater or the classics. Business is another major we don't see a whole lot, but it's really a great major for med school. Anthropology, even English, goes across the board. One of my favorite med student majors was somebody who was a costume designer for theater. She went to a small school in California. It was like a dramatic arts kind of program, and she sewed costumes for people that were in the opera, but she also loved science and caring for others, and she ended up being a fantastic med student. So that was kind of an outlier, but I'll always remember her. And in another way, that is a great example where unique majors can also really help applicants to stand out.
So on the other hand, are there any majors that undergraduates should stay away from? Any advice there?
You know, I can't think of a specific major that a student should stay away from, but in general, I think staying away from a major that they choose because they think they have to choose it, or they think, oh, med schools are looking for this major. But if their heart really isn't in it, usually they're not going to do as well. So I would say stay away from things that you're picking because you think you have to take it.
That makes sense. One of my college roommates, who is now a doctor, was a music major actually in undergrad. So I often will tell students about that because they're sometimes surprised. But I think, Jane, you kind of touched on this already, but when students are evaluating colleges, or if they're sort of getting ready to go to college, what are some of the kind of non-academic opportunities that they should be evaluating? Things like, you mentioned volunteer service, leadership opportunities, maybe advising from their college. What are some of the kind of non-academic considerations that students should have when they're looking at colleges with an eye towards med school?
Right. I think that is a great question. It's a big question. But pre-med students should look for opportunities for things to do outside of academics, as you said. But I can't emphasize enough how important patient exposure is. So let's just say somebody's considering a college that's kind of in a rural area. If they don't have a car, it's going to be really hard for them to get to settings where they can get patient exposure. So that's something they might want to think about. And patient exposure can be found, in nursing homes, in hospitals, in clinics, in hospices. These are all areas that allow students to be face to face with patients and see what it's like to provide clinical types of service. Another thing that they might want to do is look to be sure that they can do some shadowing. So again, access to hospitals or clinics might be important. And shadowing is important because they get a realistic picture of what it's like in different specialties in healthcare fields. But again, it's a little bit more passive than they themselves getting more direct patient exposure in some of those areas I spoke about earlier. It's also important for them to really get to know some of the opportunities for research. And not everybody has to be a rock star researcher to get into med school, but it's good to have some research under your belt. And if it's something you're passionate about, you probably want to pick a school where you're going to be able to get lots of really great research and also really great mentorship during that research. Also, looking for ways to create some meaningful connections with professors, PIs, investigators in labs. Supervisors for volunteer experiences or employment experiences, being able to really cultivate those relationships is going to be important because not only are you going to learn a lot from those people, but they hopefully will be able to write you a really strong recommendation letter when you're getting ready to apply to med school. And some of these services that I'm talking about are examples of leadership, student orgs that have to do with service to others are important, but these are not just things that students should look at as boxes that they can check out when it's ready, when they're getting ready to apply. Sometimes it's pretty evident that people just kind of serve time in certain areas to check off those boxes, but they should really think about why they're doing some of these things and immerse themselves in these activities. They can learn from the people around them. They can learn about how these activities make them feel, what they like, what they don't like, what they learned that really surprised them. And what I often tell people is from day one in undergrad, start just making little notes about some of the things that you've been doing. It can be more formal, like journaling, or you can just have a notebook and you can say, you know, today when I volunteered at the tutoring center, I came across a student whose native language was not English, and this is what I learned. And I realized how hard it is for them to engage and really click in some of their learning experiences. Just writing notes about that doesn't have to be fancy, but just being able to then look back on that will not only help them when they're trying to remember all the things that they did, but also how it made them feel and what they learned. Those are really important things that help them kind of contemplate on the value of the experiences they took part in.
That is amazing. Thank you.
Jane, also, I think we get some questions about from our high school students about what they could be potentially doing now as high schoolers that would position them as strong candidates eventually for medical school. So questions like, should I get my certified nursing assistant, certification? That's something that's being offered more as even part of school or as a class. And so we get questions about that. But what would you say for high schoolers is the most important thing for them to focus on if they are wanting to go on that pre-med track?
Okay. Well, there's a lot they can do, but I think they should look at it as not something that should mean a lot of pressure. I mean, this should be a time of exploration and finding out what they think and what they feel about things. So, of course, they should take science classes and try to do well in those because those science classes are going to be foundational for the pre-med requirements they take once they get into a university setting. But, taking courses like psychology and sociology are also important because it shows the more human side of medicine, because they're not going to be just dealing with a number, they're going to be dealing with a human being sitting in front of them. And psychology and sociology related classes help them understand where those people are coming from. But also, in terms of activity, like you mentioned, CNA licensure, that's something that some students choose to do while they're still in high school. And that's awesome patient exposure. That looks really great on an application. But again, going beyond that, it's giving them information on how they feel. It's giving them opportunities to see how different backgrounds make up a human being. If someone doesn't have great access to health care, they're going to see that and get a better understanding of that. There's also many opportunities, depending on the high school, in getting involved in student organizations that allow them to provide service to others. There's also a pretty common student org. And right now I'm not remembering what HOSA stands for, but it has to do with health occupations for students. And they can kind of get their feet wet and really explore some of the different healthcare occupations that are out there. And that's really important because they can kind of try things on in a way without making a big commitment. And many, many students say, yeah, I want to help people. I want to be a doctor. But oh, there are just so many other ways that they can help people in a healthcare career. And some of those examples might be physical therapy, pharmacy, something like dietetics. Mental health is really an important focus for healthcare providers right now. And luckily, people are starting to talk about this a lot more because it's something so many people come into contact with, whether it's themselves or their friends or maybe family members. And there are a lot of careers that people can go into that are really important right now. Different kinds of therapy, like art therapy, music therapy, sports therapy. I can go on and on. But these kinds of careers, among some of the others I just talked about, have a really rosy outlook when it comes to finding employment after they go on to college and beyond.
That is super, super helpful. And Jane, I guess I wonder if there's sort of any other, advice that you think would be helpful to share with potential pre-med students and their families. I think what you just said about sort of, understanding that being a physician is not the only way to pursue a career in healthcare, or it's not the only way to sort of help people and engage in science. I think that resonates so much with many of the students that we work with. But yeah, I guess any sort of last pieces of advice or anything else that you think a high school person who might want to go to med school should know?
Well, I would say, gosh, there's so many things I could say, but bottom line is I think they should get good advice along the way. It's really important. I think sometimes people have biases or assumptions or misconceptions about certain things, and that might lead them down the wrong path. And what we really want is that people who are thinking about going into pre-health careers, they really get good, strong, accurate advice along the way. And they should follow their passions. They should really focus on areas that they know they excel in and that they find enjoyable. And I think all of those things put together will really help them get on the road to something that's going to be satisfying to them personally, but also helping in the mission of caring for others.
That is wonderful and a great way to end our conversation today. Jane, thank you so, so much for chatting with us. This is really incredible advice, and we're so lucky to have you as a guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I really enjoyed answering these questions. There are a lot of other questions out there, and it's just so important to know that there are places you can go to get some really good advice, like I spoke about earlier. And we just want to help people succeed in what their goals are.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been very informative. I think it'll help a lot of kids that are looking toward wanting a career in medicine or healthcare.
Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.